Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
Hey guys, just to warn you that before our episode starts, we have a story in there that might be triggering. It's around non-consensual sex, so just a warning.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one where we interview Sophie Duker.
Welcome to Fucks Given. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and we are on a mission to revolutionise the sex space, break down barriers, and give the lowdown on all things sexy.
Every week, we will welcome a special guest to share with us their juicy details about their best fucks, worst fucks, or even the fucks that changed them.
And we'll also hear your guys' sex questions and your worst sex stories.
We're all about celebrating your sex. We're removing the stigma around the whole number bullshit.
No matter how many people you've slept with, the number never matters because the fucks given are the fucks that made us.
I don't know why I did that. I was like, do something cool. Instead of saying hey, and I was like, I'm an aeroplane.
Was that an aeroplane noise?
I was like, sort of space invader? I don't know.
Yeah, more like a spaceship.
Yeah, a spaceship.
Babe, please tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do.
I'm really cool, and I know a lot about space. I'm also a comedian.
Couldn't have guessed.
I'm a comedian and a writer person, actress person, but mainly just jokes. Is me.
just for laughter.
What have you been up to recently? Like, where can people find your comedy?
The easiest way, because I refuse to make a website, and by refuse, I mean I haven't gotten around to it yet, is to find me on Twitter, where I usually talk about most of the stuff, and my handle's at Sophie Dukebox. But I host a night called Wacky Racists, which is my baby. I've been doing it for about a year, and it's like really, really fun. Mm. The name is a pun. It's not actually a night for actually wacky. Actual
racist. Specifically wacky raisins.
Nah, it's a comedy night. And it's got perfumers? Is that like a
perfumers?
Sort of...
It sounds like sexual.
Big legs. It's a night for platforms, performers and comedians of colour, but also allies. And we play stupid games. Like there's a game called hashtag sorry not sorry, and there's a game called pin the tail on the honky. And it's yeah, it's like a big stupid big fun comedy night in King's Cross, so that's a thing. If you Ooh. Get to London, you can see me live doing that. I do comedy all over the place all the time, at lots of festivals. I'm going to Latitude and MacFest cool. in Edinburgh.
Nice.
And sometimes like pop up doing like writing stuff for people like the BBC or Frankie Boyle or lots of little places.
Yeah. So you do some shit, man.
Some shit.
You get around.
Yeah.
And you started talking about sex in your latest comedy set, right?
Yeah, in the show that I wanted to do. I'm doing my debut hour, which is just a thing that is like presented at the Edinburgh Comedy Festival in August. So most of my year is going to be writing a comedy hour. And it's just, there's so much sex in it. And I'm not someone
Love
that
it.
talked about sex a lot in my comedy or even myself that much in my comedy. But now I'm doing my debut. I'm like, oh, this new shit about sex, which worries me.
Well, sex is also very funny.
Yeah, and it never gets boring.
Yeah,
I'm hoping so. When I've got like my octogenarian audience looking for a bit of culture, and I'm like,
not your wacky racists, no. Could you imagine?
So, what do you think about the stigma that surrounds the number, and like how many people that you slept with?
I think it's kind of a weird thing to have like a number when it's just like, what makes it a number? I don't really know how far you have to go and with who to make it a
yeah.
fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess so. Like if you've got loads of like gray area stuff,
yeah,
like gray pubes or
you got gray pubes and you're just like living your life. So I think it's I think it's silly. I think it's silly, but I feel like I have been guilty in the past of being a bit competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you've got a friend. So I think this is more like when you're younger. Let's say you're at school. I mean, I wasn't really fucking anyone at school. But, like, if you're, like, younger and it's still kind of new and you're like, my friend is like me and we have similar experiences, and then you find out that they've been much more sexually experienced than you, or maybe, like, much less than you would have thought, then you're like, oh, is what I'm doing not fine?
Missing out.
Yeah. Mm. Am I missing out, or am I doing it too much? Have I misunderstood? Did I not get the memo? Which is like, we're going to do it. Like, take our time. Like, just like, I want to get on beat. But now I care much less about what other people are doing.
Yeah.
Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
Last fuck was at Homerton Hospital earlier today.
Name and shame.
I think I can't actually remember her name. I think it was Deirdre, maybe.
Oh, stop. That's such a, like, a nurse name. Was she a doctor or a nurse?
I don't know if she was a doctor or a nurse, but she was definitely, like, she definitely seemed very skilled. So I think let's call her Dr. Deirdre. So, like, this will be protecting her identity unless that actually was her name.
So you were fucking in the hospital?
We weren't fucking in the hospital. I just had an ultrasound, and I don't think I drank my 2 liters of water far enough in, because I cycled there, so I didn't want the, like, saddle of my bike. I know it doesn't press into your bladder, but I thought I didn't want to really need to pee on the bike.
That would have been unfortunate.
So I drank my 2 liters of water, which you should have before an ultrasound, quite close in time to the scan.
Mm.
And then she said my bladder wasn't very full, where I was like wobbling around one of those. What are they? They were like full of water, like sort of slinky.
Water balloons. What were they called? God.
That was like the 90s.
Yeah, 90s. They were really slippery.
That was the first time I ever figured out how to do a hand job. They were just like hand jobs for kids, I swear.
Yeah, they were.
Because they're so penis-y. And you just like play with them. I was obsessed with mine. So wait, how did the fucking happen? I don't understand.
Oh, so because I hadn't drunk enough water, or maybe because my uterus tilts backwards, guys.
Oh, uh-huh.
Fun fact.
nice input.
So she said we had to do an internal scan, so she got out a big sort of probe. But it was actually, it was more, I don't know. I've had a smear test, and it was more, like, they put like a warm gel on the top.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of more pleasant than
cold speculum.
Yeah, cold speculum.
Yeah.
But there was like a lot more probing. And then I was also like at the end of my period. So I was like, there's going to be a little bit of, and she was like, that's fine. She put on a little condom.
I was just about to ask, so how did the sex happen?
So she strapped up. She did not strap up. That's not the term. She like put
with
a little.
Her medical penis.
With her medical penis. Whacked on this, it was a condom. And then just like had a little feel. She thought I had a polyp. She also had like a really strong accent, and I think I sometimes go so accent deaf, I don't know where people are from. So she was either really, I think she was Irish. She was really, really Irish. And I loved her accent, but I couldn't understand anything because she was like, part of blood part. And I was like, what? I'm not trying to be offensive to the Irish. I loved her accent, but I was like, I just can't understand anything you're saying to me.
Polyps are weird words, though.
Yeah.
I've had a polyp removed from my intestine.
You're not expecting someone to say polyp. So I was just like,
polyp?
What's a polyp?
She was like, it's kind of like a skin tag, but inside you're like, and then she was like, lying. She said lining. I am now just like laughing at her beautiful voice. It was very intimate until she needed a second opinion on my polyp and brought in Robert, who
good
came in
Robert.
But was like, I
threesome.
Can't really, if I'm not doing it, if he's not operating the sort of medical dick. So he got down and he was quite like, he was
quite
it was
rough.
Like a different, like rough, but also like, there was quite a lot of like skin contact.
Oh.
And I was like, this is weird.
So he fucked you better than Deirdre.
Did
he use a condom?
He did use a condom, a new condom.
I was going to say.
Oh, really? A new one?
Yeah.
So was it
she
an
put
actual...
everything away. And I was just like waited for a while. And then Robert came back
an actual condom? It wasn't like a rubber glove?
It was an actual condom.
What happened to the rubber glove?
What? No, because it wouldn't. Because that's got too many fingers. It just had to go. It was, like
a probe.
But like she was like, "I'm not going to stick it all up you."
Oh, it's not on her finger. No, not on their finger. It's, for it's some like reason, I'm thinking that the
magic.
Fingering.
It's like a sonic screwdriver
with a condom. Oh, yeah. Okay, now I get it. So yeah, you
no, she didn't just put a condom on her finger.
That's what I was imagining. And then Robert came in and did the same.
Oh wow! No, that would have been probably illegal. I don't know.
I was thinking, what happened to the just like the little hand glove, the latex glove? I think latex gloves are really sexy.
How did it make you feel?
Therapy or what? Therapy session.
I mean, I was. I don't know. You never want to enjoy it too much.
I've definitely enjoyed a probe from a doctor now and again, even in my bum hole.
Really?
Yeah, it's just the whole situation's really hot. It's annoying because you don't want it to be hot. You're trying to like crack jokes and laugh. And this doctor was so serious. And I was like, oh, you know, trying to make it lighthearted. And he just wouldn't even give me a pity laugh.
Oh, no.
While his finger is in my bum hole.
You've got to. I mean, I guess he's got like so many, his fingers up so many bum holes that he's like, I've hurt. Like,
yeah, he said it all.
I don't want to laugh.
He was a new doctor. Oh, okay. He had to call for advice. Sorry.
Maybe they do that if you've got a weird. So they're just like, oh, I just need a second opinion on this part.
Yeah.
He was so embarrassed as well. He's like, I'm going to have to rectally examine you. He was just so shocked that he was going to have to do it.
Oh,
and I was like, okay, well, let's hop to it then. You know, like really excited. And he just wasn't.
Oh.
He was hot as well. God damn it. Wait, why was yours kind of sexually? Were you sexually attracted to this situation?
I wasn't officially. Like, the official line is no. I mean, like, they were both kind of hot.
Really?
Yeah, but I was also like, my health. So yeah, I wasn't just like, yeah. And then she didn't tell me when I could get dressed again, so I was just like, can I get ready? And she was like, oh yeah, sure, cool.
Just standing there naked.
Well, from the waist down, which is kinkier.
Fuck two.
The first fuck.
So my first time was with a guy called Mr. Wright.
Stop it.
His
actual name? Or
his name was Wright, but it was spelt...
Oh my God, that's
with a W, because
Your first friend was with Mr. Wright.
Mr. Wright. I didn't call him Mr. Wright. I suppose I shouldn't use his full name. I
don't remember. just
like announce.
I mean, I don't really care because he ghosted me. The end.
Get rid.
Yeah. It was fine. It was actually really, it wasn't romantic. But at the time, I thought it was romantic. We met at a weird sort of alpine club.
Alpine club?
Yeah, it was like, it was really weird. I don't know if it was officially alpine themed. And it was around Valentine's Day.
Uh-huh.
So it was a lock and key party.
Okay.
What's a lock and key party?
Oh, it's a really progressive type of party where all the girls wear locks and all the guys have keys, and they go around like trying their key in the lock. And I guess
that actually sounds pretty cool.
Wait, yeah. How old were you when this was happening?
I think I was 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would never have thought of doing something like that when I was 17.
But it was like an official, like we weren't 17-year-olds being like, we've organised this. Yeah. Also, it's a bit weird because it's like, what happens if it works and you don't like them? It's like, they own you. It's like, oh, I found my bike. Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice though, because you're trying it in someone's lock and you must be chatting at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
His key didn't fit in my lock, but we had like a nice chat. And he did some weird like mind game on me.
He did the
thing where it's like, imagine like a box. And like, imagine like the horse is standing next. So have you people done that with you?
No.
And then at the end, they're like, well, how big the box is like your ego, and like what the horse is like how you see your lover, and like the storm is how you see trouble.
Like a
it's
dream.
It's also like all those things are like what you've seen in the day, like things that.
Like a dream.
Like a dream.
Yeah.
It was a dream. Mr. Wright was a dream.
Ooh, he wasn't real.
Yeah, but it was really like, I just really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
And after we met at that lock and key party, we then went and had like a day in Carnaby Street, which to me at the time felt like one of those montages in a film where you're like trying on clothes, like popping out of stuff. And it was all really nice. He lived in the Barbican and he showed me this like secret at the time, like garden in the Barbican.
Oh yeah.
Wait, I mean in the Barbican.
Yeah. But then yeah, we had sex. Not in the, I think he wanted to have sex in the garden, but there were too many like little old ladies walking around the Barbican in the middle of the day.
Do you think that he was a virgin, or do you think he had done this before?
I think he'd done it before. The first time we had sex, I don't think it really worked. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit hazy on what happened, but I think maybe he like lost it.
Lost his erection.
Lost his erection, mm-hmm. I think. But I like didn't know what it was meant to be. So I was like, yeah, this is like fine. I'm like,
yeah.
And it was,
you're like, definitely fucking me now. Like, yeah, I feel it.
I feel like I felt something, but like, I think it didn't last as long as he wanted it to. And then we mm-hmm. had sex with, yeah, subsequent time after we had some like something that we'd eat, like maybe like he had a toasty maker or like a George Foreman grill. I've not spoken about this for so long, but yeah, I remember it was really not, like I felt really ready, and he was a guy that I just met at a club. I didn't have sex with him that night, but I just met him, and it all seemed really like cute and nice, and I was like, yeah, I was happy with how I lost my virginity. And then he just, yeah, cussed it. I still have him on Facebook.
So like right what? After, so did you have Block. Sex? How many times did you have sex before he ghosted you?
I think not that many times. I think maybe like maximum 4 times. And maybe two or three.
Was this like in a couple Definitely of days or a couple of weeks, months?
A couple of weeks, mm-hmm. a few weeks.
Ghosting is so harsh. Especially, did he know that he was the person that took your virginity?
I don't think he believed me.
Because you were so good.
Yeah,
I don't think I did. I mean, I was just like, bleh. But I think maybe he'd believe me after we had sex. I'm like, oh, but I don't think he believed me. I don't know why.
Yeah. How did you feel about being ghosted after losing your virginity? Because that's quite like, I think when you lose your virginity, you do kind of form some sort of attachment to that person because you're always going to remember them.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't though. We've spoken to people that have had amazing one-night stands losing their virginity, and it's been an incredible experience.
Yeah,
but it just depends on how you feel.
I felt fine about it. Like, I don't know, it was a bit like, oh, but I think it felt like such a random coming into my life, literally, thing that I was just like, meh. I don't know. I felt quite chilled about it, but he was just like, he wasn't Mr. Right. He was like a little like new rave goblin.
New rave goblin.
He was just, yeah.
Mr. Wrong.
Fuck 3. The best fuck.
I had sex with this girl, who I like later called Beautiful Angel. That sounds one really creepy and also just ridiculous. I met this girl at a club night and she was just really cool. Like God, I hope she doesn't listen to this. She's just really cool. I was like at the night and it's like that point in the night when you're like, oh, I'm thinking I'm gonna go home. And then I met her and she was just like so beautiful and so cool, and she was French. I used to live in France and my ex is French, so I like love speaking to French people anyway. But she'd just been in Ghana, which is where I've like lived before and like my dad is from, and she's like was like an artist, and she'd been like making work, like collaborating with artists there.
Like perfect on paper, pretty much.
Yeah, she was just like really like engaged and like happy and like, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm staying out. and then we left the club and there was like talk about an after party, but it was kind of like exclusive. I don't know, it was like kind of like a cutie park like party. And she is like white passing, so it was like at the time I thought she was white, and so I was just like, oh, I'm not like, these black people like are quite like, so I wasn't sure if she like could come. And then she was just like, oh, I'll just come home with you. But the reason that this was the best fuck, apart from it being great, was that it was like everything was like so lovely. Like it was just really nice. Like, don't really know what kiss means, but I'm gonna use it. It was like a really nice time, and I had been involved with someone who was not a nice time.
Oh, no.
And nothing was easy and everything was sort of like fought for and weirdly like... I'm trying to not... fuck it. But I'm like... I think with that other person, I kind of... with that other person, I kind of expected the sex to be different to how it was because of how we were around each other. It was very... lots of chemistry.
Yeah. Passionate. And...
Yeah. Yeah. But then...
And then it didn't live up to that in the bedroom.
No, but I think...
Wait, are we still talking about the best sex?
Well, no. But the reason that it was the best sex is that I had a very, like, difficult sort of, like, period of seeing someone who was not easy with.
Oh, I see.
And then meeting this person and having this, like, beautiful sex with them. And then the next day, like, there was, like, sunlight pouring through the window. And she was just, like, and also, it was what... It sounds really bad, but it was just, like, one of those things where you just, like, look at someone while you're having sex with them and you're just, like, how is this happening? You're just, ludicrously gorgeous.
Yeah, like the stars of a line.
Yeah, and she's really nice. I'm just, like... I mean, it's, like, a nice, beautiful person who's just, like, happy. And it was... it was great. So, yeah, that's
you're painting in like an incredible, beautiful picture.
Yeah. After she walked like me to the bus stop because I was going to like babysit and she like sent me a really nice like text, like a sunshine emoji. I was like, you're perfect.
Fuck number four.
The worst fuck.
So the worst fuck was when I was in Paris. In Paris, and I think it was around the time of my birthday, and I was talking to a guy in a club, and I think maybe we made out in the club, but he was like quite clean and like we're both quite drunk, and I was like not really into it, so I left the club. My friends are going back to a different part of Paris, and in Paris, I don't know if it's still like this, but it's just impossible to get home. And I would never at that time have like taken a like taxi, but it's just so hard to like find where you're going.
Yeah.
So I was like walking up and down, like maybe trying to find a taxi, maybe trying to see if there was a bus, like none of the metros were open. And he kind of is like, oh, I've got a taxi. Uh-huh. And I was like, right. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay.
This already sounds like the start of a horror film.
It's like not a good story. But yeah, he's like, I've got a taxi. And he was like, oh, you can like take my taxi and like go to your house. And I was like, okay. And then already in the taxi, I'm like, fuck. And I lived with like four French guys. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I really hope that one of them is... I don't know if I was thinking that at this point, but I was like, I hope that one of them is home. And then... the taxi like stopped at my house and I got out, but he also got out. Shame. And I hadn't been expecting him to get out. So I was just like, shit, I didn't invite him. So I was like, oh God, this
already
is
already warning signs.
Yeah. And then I was just like, I think I was thinking, can I just like slam the door? Like getting through like into my apartment, like the fifth floor. And I was just like, there's four of them. It's like 2, 3 a.m. Like one of them must be home. But I got in and like none of them were home, and so I was just like, oh shit.
For fuck's sake.
So then we went into like... I also lived in like this weird flat with like five people, and there were like two actual bedrooms. And like anyway, so it was like a weird thing. So it wasn't the room that I normally slept in, but it was like a room with a bed.
Mm.
And we went into the room and we were like doing like stuff in the bed, but like he kept on trying to have sex with me. Yeah. And I was like, no.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said no.
Yeah.
And then okay, so at this bit I don't really remember what happened. Mm. I don't think. But like then I remember like we went to bed and like in the morning, he's kind of like trying again.
Uh-huh.
And I think what happened, I think the way that like I remember it is that I kind of got tired of like saying no.
Yeah.
So I didn't like, I basically just didn't do anything.
We've all been there. Yeah. Definitely all been there. You just, you don't want to like make the situation worse, so you end up just letting it happen.
Yeah.
And there's that whole gray area around like, was I okay with that? Did I consent? I didn't consent. How do I go about doing this? And it's it's so important to talk about, because I think it happens to
it's
people.
It's that sort of like deer in the headlights, like you can't physically get the words out to say no. You feel like weak inside, and like you kind of feel like there's like a little tiny you inside your body, and you're kind of like trapped there.
Well, like, I'll just let this be over and then he'll go.
And I but the thing, the reason I was like, I want to talk about it, is that like afterwards, like I was just like, why is nobody home? Afterwards, I very much felt like I was trying to like style it out about what had happened to me. I remember I had this like vintage, like when I say vintage, like from like a shitty like little vintage shop, like this like fur coat, and I think I like it's like quite ostentatious, and I was like I remember sitting and like wearing it, and he was like trying to talk to me about like when he was gonna see me again possibly, or like talk to me and stuff, and I was just like sitting there like naked in this fur coat trying to be like imposing and like sexy or whatever,
trying to be
like this is part of like the net like of me and like Paris, and like this is the thing, and like I'm in control of it, and I'm really sexy, but I didn't want to
come across as like a victim in that situation.
Well, nobody wants to come across as a victim, because then you blame yourself for it. But it clearly sounds like he had no idea what he was doing. He just, even though you said no, he just didn't, it wasn't even a, like a an option for him. Which I'm not excusing him at all.
One thing that I, because I was just like really like no with like my body as well, and this is like,
for God's sake,
this is really,
he should have just left. Why did he come upstairs?
This is quite like graphic. I don't know, because he's a dick, but like this is quite, but like also like, so I was just like, it's not gonna work because I like don't want it. And then I remember I felt something really cold, and it's because he had like some lube with him, so he just like used
Oh my god, that's one step too far.
It's like, it's a bad,
Well, I mean, thank you so much for sharing, because it's such a hard thing to share and to talk about and to accept in yourself.
I also think that there's this kind of confusion around consent with a lot of people that don't understand that sometimes you can't say no. But what's weird in your situation is that you were saying no the whole evening.
And it's kind of, it's, I mean,
You don't just change your mind in the morning, like, oh, actually,
yeah, this is fine. But then he, like, he, like, texted me for a bit, and, like, I never replied to, I've, like, never spoken to him or said anything.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that made me.
Did you know this podcast is powered by Acast? Acast is the home of podcasting. For creators looking for freedom to grow their listeners and make money too. And creative brands looking for smart ways to advertise. Podcasters and advertisers in the know Acast. It's time you did too. Visit acast.com to find out more. Acast, for the stories.
I think the fact that changed my life, it's quite hard to think about, but I think one of the facts that I feel has changed my life is that I had sex with my ex on holiday. On a holiday that we took after we broke up. And it was while I
together.
Was... Yes.
People do that. It's so bizarre.
It's wild. It's... it was... He suggested it. I was like, you are insane. Stop being so French. But because we were in a...
It's the French beeps.
Because we're in a long distance relationship. I then was like, it's so hard to come and see each other. There's so much resonances and stuff and people here. And if I go there, there's so much. If we go to this neutral place, it's kind of like a closure to Lisbon. A great place to go with your ex. But it was, the reason it changed my life is that I think I did know that we were going to have sex when I booked the holiday, but I didn't know, I wasn't going for that, at least not consciously. I was just like, I just need to see you because we don't live in the same place and we need to have this closure. And we had a really beautiful time and did have lots of sex. But I had kind of started seeing a different guy who had been on holiday when I decided to go on holiday with my ex. And I told him, I'm going on holiday with my ex. I don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to be part of... Because we were seeing each other casually. If you don't want to be part of this, that's fine. And he was like, are you going to have sex with him? And I said, I don't know, which obviously means yes.
Yes.
But for some reason, my partner was like, oh, she's probably not going to have sex with him. And towards the end of like the 5-day stay in Lisbon, he called me and I was talking to him about his life. My ex got upset about something. So it was being weird, like left the flat. So he heard like a bit of disturbance between us. And then I was like, I'm sorry, I have to go. My ex's name is being really weird. I then resolved stuff with my ex, went out for like a last night dinner. But then my current partner in London is like trying to be casual, sending me texts. I don't have what, like, signal. So my phone is like not there, being like, oh, the little chat, like, this is a dream I had. And then don't have sex with your ex. But like 4 days in, like, I had it, like, and then was really upset about it. And I was like, okay, we need to talk.
Yeah.
When I get back. So I met up with him, and he was, when I got back, and he was really heartbroken and hurt and angry that I'd had sex with my ex. And the reason that I think it changed my life is that because I did that, it kind of made me, well, we were in a situation where I then committed to my current partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Like, as in monogamously?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was, I don't think I was like wrong to have sex with my ex, but I think it's, I don't know. I think it's weird, like, how powerful sex is, what it means to people, and how it, that was definitely the impetus for us getting into this relationship.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Did it positively change you in any way? Or was this just like a realization, like, oh, fuck, I just can't go banging? But then there's a miscommunication as well.
It was a miscommunication. I mean, I feel like I was pretty clear.
I'm going on holiday with my ex.
I'm going on holiday with my ex. We're going to stay in an Airbnb in Lisbon.
Yeah.
I still feel like empowered by the fact that I went on holiday with my ex and like had like an I have an understanding of this person, and I feel glad that I went. I wouldn't reverse that I went. I regret the hurt that it caused to my partner, but I think it was like, I don't know, it was like kind of a decision that I made, and I could see its impacts on things.
Yeah.
And it felt like I wasn't being passive.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, I'm not saying the only reason we got together was like, I don't want you to be fucking other people, but it showed me something that I hadn't really considered. I'd never thought that he would care that much about.
Yeah,
that.
It does show that he cares.
Yeah.
But sleeping with an ex is quite a tricky situation.
Complicated in its own right.
Yeah.
Let alone going on holiday with one.
But then I don't think I would ever do that.
But if you had a long distance relationship, and the reason why it didn't work was because it was long distance, and that's kind of more understandable.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that?
Because it wasn't like you fucked each other off or someone did anything bad. It was just like, we have to do this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it kind of made sense at the time, even though it seemed like such a bad idea. He did then try and get me back up.
For fuck's sake. So, Florence, what have our listeners asked us today?
So, this week's question is, I'm absolutely head over heels for my current partner. We have amazing chemistry and the sex is too hot for words. The problem I'm having is that I can't orgasm unless I'm fantasizing about porn. I have been watching porn from a young age and it's always how I've masturbated. I want to be able to live in the moment and enjoy pleasure, but I can't seem to get my mind out of porn. Any advice? That's really interesting, isn't it?
So interesting and really honest as well.
Mm.
I think quite a few people can struggle from like separating reality and fantasy with porn.
Yeah. Especially I guess like people who have like people that are quite young now have actually grown up with the access of porn from a very young age. So if you were watching porn for like since you were a young teenager, like that will just have like infiltrated your mind and everything that you think that you enjoy about sex.
Mm.
I think that I don't think I have the same problem, but I think that I've been like, I used to have an imagination. I want to use my imagination. I want to not, I think porn is so accessible. It's so easy. I think it's the thing that most reliably for me anyway, will be like, oh, now I feel like I want to come.
Yeah.
And it's if you're feeling frustrated or horny and you're like short on time, I'm very time poor, it's like, oh, I have the porn.
Yeah.
I've tried not watching as much. Yeah. I don't think I ever watched loads of it, but I think I've tried to not because I don't want to like desensitize myself to experiences with my partner or the real world. I think like porn can be healthy and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think if you're finding it difficult, maybe it is better to try and go without it.
That's what I was thinking.
But not beat yourself up you're just like, oh, like, I'm gonna have a snack.
Yeah, I think it would be either like trying to quit porn for at least like a couple of months and see how that goes, or like trying to get into a different style of like erotic stuff that like does something to your imagination and like gets you off, like either like start reading like erotic literature, stuff that like involves your imagination more. Mm-hmm. I would think there's so much out there now that like people are expecting things in the bedroom that just don't happen in real life, because what happens in porn is not reality. Like a lot of the time it is all just like weird, like positions that don't actually feel good in the bedroom. Like the way you treat each other is different than it is in real life. Things get like super super kinky, and like if you're watching that at like a young age,
it'd just be terrible. Like I talk a lot about in there's new show that I'm ready I talk about how like you're trying to, well, like for me, I'm just like, this is like the way that you're going to experience desire. You haven't had these experiences yet.
Yeah.
Like one of the things that's like, and also I think, which you guys might be able to like verify, I was just like, I think loads of people, I think I read a study about this, but loads of people watch lesbian porn, whether or not they're actually queer women.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's so fun. And I was always just like, like it's crazy, like because I spoke to some other women, I was like, they watch it as well, but then now I'm like, oh, I am actually queer, so it doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like there are just like two women having sex, and then one woman will like swivel the other woman's hips so that her vagina's facing the fourth wall, and it's everyone's just kind of like tilted to the side so you can get the best angle, and that's not how you have sex for like
no you should never like learn your sexual techniques
to be posing and like thinking about what you look like. I read about like people thinking like they don't like the angle
it's,
they look
it's a movie theater. You know, they're making a film. It's all planned, it's all set out. Like sometimes it can be sexy and sometimes it isn't, it's just a performance. I mean, I definitely have a problem, or I know that I've had a problem with porn, but I've definitely separated masturbation and porn with sex. But even then there could be a lot of anxiety around worrying about porn, especially if you don't need to worry. Like I think about porn a lot when I'm having sex because I'm trying to concentrate, I actually want to come, I want to enjoy myself, and I don't just think about myself in the moment. I do think about a situation, not all the time, but it's also putting a lot of pressure on yourself, saying, oh my god, I shouldn't be thinking about porn, I should be thinking about the person I'm with. And that's not to say it's true the entire way through. Like it's great if you live in the moment, but
and those sort of thoughts stick with you.
It's absolutely fine to just think about a sexy
scenario. It sounds
like
they're really attracted to their partner or the person that they're having sex with. It's not that they don't find them attractive. So if you're enjoying what they're doing to you and the situation you're in, and you're also thinking about a scenario, that's that sounds more like
It could be more of a problem. Like I think maybe like definitely take the steps to like remove porn from your life, and then also if then it's still a problem, then I would definitely think about talking to a therapist, just because talking through things with someone else will help remove it as a problem and start like you'll just
process,
have like a better understanding of it, to put it in a different light.
Yeah, but breaks are great anyway. You did that with toys, didn't you?
Yeah
Like sex toys. It's the same with like having a break from social media if you're finding yourself on it too much. And you know, wanting to do it for yourself is so much easier than just being forced to or feeling like you have to. Just being like, okay, I will take a break from this for a time being, and I know that it will help. Have belief that it will help.
Fucking hell.
Florence, baby, give me that worst story.
So my worst sex story would be with this guy that lived with me for about 2 months, and I had been over him for a while, but I was waiting for him to figure out his life. Mistake. And one morning he woke up and started kissing me and then went down to go kiss me all the way down to my chest and my stomach and got to my white shorts. And at this point, my eyes were closed and he said, "Oh shit." And I opened my eyes to see that there was a trail of blood from my chin to my white shorts on my vagina. He had had a nosebleed and did not feel it. He then said, "Well, it's okay. It just looks like period blood." And that was the last time I have seen him.
Wow.
I was really expecting that to go down the period blood route.
Yeah. Because it was white shorts. I was like, yeah, that's...
Yeah. Always white shorts. Oh, always white pants and white shorts or trousers.
But anything blood related is...
I think it's always white. But nosebleed.
And the fact that he was a mistake anyway.
Yeah.
Oh. But then nosebleeds, I just don't... Like, period blood isn't that bad. We've been brought up to think that period blood is so embarrassing and, oh my God, if you leak, it's the end of the world, and it really shouldn't be.
No.
And it should be the same with nosebleeds. Like, my boyfriend, he gets nosebleeds all the time, especially when we're doing sexual stuff, because it's a drop or a change in temperature, body temperature, or and that's what changes it. He used to get nosebleeds all the time. Like, probably every time we had sex, there'd be a nosebleed at some point.
Yeah.
But that's just, I kind of like the fact that he made it a little bit jokey, but it definitely came across like a bit of a dick move.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just period blood.
Yeah.
Like, no, you fucking bled your nose all over her.
Yeah.
Stitched the trouble. White shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sad about the white shorts. I was like, they're so cute.
The precious white shorts.
Oh. Well, unfortunately, it is time for us to wrap this up and fuck off.
Fuck off. Our favourite part of the podcast. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here, Sophie.
Yeah, you've been amazing. And thanks for sharing some really, really heartfelt and scary stories. I think it's important to hear every aspect of sex.
Where can our listeners find you?
They can find me, as I said, at Sophie Duke Box is the best place to find me, on my Twitter. And yeah, I'd just love to see people in person. You can find about my gigs there, but also search Wacky Racist on Facebook. If you're anywhere near London, you can come to that. Or if you're at a festival with comedy this year, you will probably see me there.
So, hey, yeah. We'll be watching out for you, sexy pants.
Yeah,
thank you. And good luck tonight as well.
Oh yeah, I'm off to headline a gig.
Bye.
Much love. Oh, and also everyone, remember to subscribe. You always forget this. And leave advice and give us a rating and share us and all that. And send in your stories.
DM them to us on Instagram. Follow our Instagram. Follow Sophie's Instagram.
Yeah.
Please do. Okay.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Hi, I'm Zivi Owens, and along with Tracy Cox, who is an international sex expert and author of 17 books, I co-host the podcast Sex Talk with Zivi and Tracy, and it's S-E-X-T-O-K. And the reason we have it as Sex Talk is because we happen to be viral TikTok stars at the moment, with some of our videos getting over 1.1 million views. So listen to us. I am totally shy and squeamish. She is super open, British, and hilarious. Listen to us each week as Tracy answers 3 anonymously sourced questions about all the things you talk to your girlfriends about. Listen on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts. Sex Talk with Zivi and Tracy.
Acast recommends.
Can I say bye now?
Yes, you can
bye.
Say bye now.
Bye. Bye. Bye.